From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 18th day of June 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons in Delphi, Indiana. Along the way, we'll take a complete look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural news. And I'll tell you how the Market Maker website has helped some buyers in search of, well, a few safe tomatoes. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Taking a look now at the way the settlement prices came in Chicago at the Mercantile Exchange and the Board of Trade from the CME Group. Nearby July wheat, $9.04, up 5 3/4 on the afternoon. September at $9.22, up 5 3/4. And December wheat at $9.45 and a half, up 6 cents for the day. In Kansas City, nearby July wheat at $9.45 and a quarter for the hard red, up 6 1/4. September at $9.60 and a half, 7 1/2 cents higher. July corn futures, $7.46 and a quarter, 4 cents higher on the afternoon. September, $7.60 and a quarter, up 3 3/4 for the day. And December futures in the corn pit, $7.80. December contract up 4 for the new crop harvest month. March futures at $7.94 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. July soybeans, $15.56, down 2 cents this afternoon. August at $15.61, down 1 3/4. And September soybeans at $15.45 and a half, 6 1/2 cents lower. The November contract, your new crop harvest month, a dime lower today at $15.43 a bushel. July bean meal futures at $417.10, up $2.10. July contract in the bean oil at $65.46, down 34 for the day. June live cattle futures over at the Mercantile Exchange from the CME's livestock side, 96.12 and a half, down 20 cents. The August contract was up 30 at $103.90 a hundredweight. August feeder cattle at 110.50, that's 17 and a half higher. September at 112.87 and a half, up 25 cents. July lean hog futures this afternoon at $74.85 a hundredweight, up 22 and a half cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Let's take a look now at the outside markets. July crude oil at $136.68, up $2.67 a barrel. August contract at $137.17, that's up $2.64. July ethanol futures at $2.93.07, just a 5 1/10 of a cent higher. August contract up 6 5/10 at $2.94 and 5/10 in the ethanol futures. Natural gas trading July now at $13.24 and 6/10, up 29 4/10. And the heating oil is trading the July at $3.84 and 5/10. That's up 2 3/10 for the day. July propane futures, $1.82 and 7/10, and that was their last trade. And the gold futures are trading the nearby June contract at $890.90, up $6.60 an ounce. The Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 12,030. It's just about 130 points lower for the afternoon. The U.S. dollar at 73.43, that's down 0.09, and the CRB index at 456.82. is up 5.6 for the afternoon.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids. As an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. On the web at agrigold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. We're joined by phone on this Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois is with us to take a look at the futures markets in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, kind of a quiet day it appears in Chicago. Is that right, or did I just miss something?
Well, there's a lot of high stakes worries and conversation. Of course, flooding in the Midwest and the continuation of seeing TV shots of massive flooding on the Mississippi River. The rumor has it the president's going to take Air Force One to Iowa and Illinois and tour the great floods. And as we understand it, there is talk from the Secretary of Agriculture, Ed Schaefer, that it's announcement of releasing the CRP will probably take place sometime before the August crop production report. There's also talk about the Argentine Congress talking about taking up the export tax bill. And all said and done, of course, the president did talk about drilling offshore in the U.S., all added up to a very unusual market conditions. And, you know, the whisper from the tractor cab is a lot of soybeans are going in the ground in southern Illinois, replacing and some corn acreage in that part of the state. So it's a busy day in the marketplace and a lot of focus on a lot of things. All said and done, the crop does seem to be improving as sunshine kind of greens up the corn crop here in the east side of the state.
Let's take these just a bit one at a time, and maybe we'll work backwards and start with the soybeans. If more beans are growing into the ground in southern Illinois, will that put pressure on the bean market, or is there enough loss, you think, in Iowa that it won't make much difference?
Well, you know, beans will get planted late in Iowa as well, and as I understand with some provisions of the crop insurance, you know, people might even take preventive planting and then have the right to plant some beans after July 1st. So there's all kinds of twists and turns and ramifications there. But I do think that we will see an acreage jump in soybeans. And the real issue there is what kind of a yield we'll put on late planted beans. But, you know, they'll be, yield better probably than double crop. The other thing we're picking up in the soybean area is the wheat is maturing fairly quick, and we will see some wheat harvested in the southern part of Indiana and Illinois in 7 to 10 days.
And do you think the extra acres in beans will cap that market, or will
I think the that late plus CRP acres for next year will also help cap the new crop soybeans and particularly the deferred beans to some extent.
Okay, so for the old crop, then we're talking about a cap because there may be some fresh acres that are coming in, despite the fact that they're late on the beans. New crop CRP acres, and this will work for corn and beans both, those kind of acres, if Secretary Schaefer releases many acres, could put some real pressure on the 09 contracts.
That's right. And my general impression is that we're going to see two different worlds of commodity trading, and in wheat, 2009 wheat, corn, and soybeans. So, and what's also interesting about this is that the commodity funds have always been generous buyers in the extended models, in the extended futures contracts, because it's always been a long-term issue for them.
Well, what does this tell you then? And you say two different worlds, so I'm going to make some assumptions.
Old
crop corn would be, at that point, would be the 2000, the one that we're harvesting at this point. Let's call it that. And then we'll look at the 09 contracts, and that's for the new crop. And that, so old crop could remain strong, new crop 09 could weaken pretty substantially?
Well, I think that let's say, weaken. And what we're talking about here is, oh, maybe 10 to 12 million acres of production in the Corn Belt. And some of that will be made up, of course, of corn and soybeans and wheat. Something in the neighborhood of 300 or 400 million more million bushels of corn, 100 million bushels of beans, and some wheat thrown in. When you think about 10 million acres to 12 million acres of production, that is a fairly sizable increase, and I think the market will note that. The other thing that's happening here is that with that, we are facing wheat harvest, and the yields on the early wheat seem to be coming in excellent. So it's a situation where there's a lot of background news and whispers, but the market did seem to be trading pretty reasonable, and they're very concerned about total production, at least in the first part of the year. And I think that maybe is the focus that we should really take at this time.
Yeah, release of the CRP is something that you've been calling for quite some time to stabilize the marketplace. And I think your view is that that would be good for the marketplace, because the gyrations that we get with the highs and the moves up really put some serious financial strain across the agricultural sector?
Well, yes, and I think that one stress area, of course, is the livestock industry. It will continue to provide an energy substitute for these runaway energy markets, and it will give the general feeling that, you know, the U.S. government is doing something about food security and food prices, and they're nervous about that.
Anything? Let's talk just a little bit about livestock before I let you go for the afternoon. What should a livestock producer be doing at this point with their near-term needs if they haven't gotten them booked? And I suppose there might be a few that are out there that haven't, thinking that eventually it would go down, and it just things just have gone against them in the weather.
Mm. Well, owning inventory, I do feel that the market is going to be very strong here, you know, at some point in time. And the other foot to drop, of course, is dry weather. So a person has to be very watch the markets very carefully, and make sure you have your bins full for that summertime weather rally when and if it will come. So be patient here if you haven't got your inventory booked. I would push ownership here on any major sell-off so you can weather the storm and see better profit potential, you know, 6 months to a year from now.
And one final question, because we talked about the 09 crop. Would you book any old 09 crop at this point as a seller of grain?
Yeah. The one area that looks very intriguing to me, of course, is the wheat area, Todd, because it does give some people some very good profit potentials and low input costs. So I'd consider the wheat as a marketing opportunity, and unfortunately the elevators aren't going to be very generous with you on basis, so you will have to use some sort of a futures kind of tools and options in order to do that marketing to get the most dollars.
All right. Thanks much, Paul.
Have a good one.
Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In today's agricultural news, new biodiesel specs are coming. A subcommittee of ASTM International meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia, has cast a strong vote to establish specs for biodiesel blends. Even though the main committee is yet to vote, observers say it's extremely rare for the main committee to overturn a subcommittee decision. The subcommittee, of course, is made up of fuel experts. The final vote is expected tomorrow evening. The new specs would include up to 5% biodiesel in the conventional petrol diesel specs. It changes the existing B100 biodiesel blend stock specification and sets new specs for blends of between 6% biodiesel to 20% biodiesel for on- and off-road diesel. Automakers and engine manufacturers have highly anticipated the B6 to B20 specs for more than 5 years. On the subject of energy, it continues to be a top-tier campaign issue for the presidential run in the United States, saying we must embark on a national mission to eliminate our dependence on foreign oil. Arizona Senator John McCain and presidential candidates has called for an end to the federal ban on offshore oil drilling. In a speech yesterday, the senator emphasized that the United States has untapped oil reserves of at least 21 billion barrels, and he said it was time for the federal government to lift oil drilling restrictions. And finally today, the joint CFTC hearing has been held in Washington, D.C. The new farm bill gives additional authority to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, but already Congress is trying to understand what further steps are needed. To that end, a joint session of the Senate Agriculture Committee and Senate Appropriations Subcommittee on Financial Services and General Government was held yesterday. Iowa Senator Tom Harkin and Georgia Senator Saxby Chambliss co-chaired the hearing. In his opening statement, Senator Harkin said, "We are holding this joint hearing to address both the mission and the funding of the Commodity Futures Trade Commission." He emphasized the CFTC has critical regulatory responsibility to protect and ensure the integrity and fairness and transparency of the nation's futures, options, and derivative markets. Senator Chambliss cautioned, "We should not rush to legislate an uninformed solution, particularly when we might create more problems." In his written testimony, the acting chairman of the CFTC, Walter Lucan, admitted these are challenging times for his agency. Lucan said the commission has undertaken several initiatives that fall into five broad categories. The first is increasing information and transparency. The second, ensuring proper market controls. The third, continuing aggressive enforcement efforts. The fourth, improving oversight coordination. And finally, the fifth is to seek increased funding. The CFTC is at an historic low on staffing levels. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm your host, Todd Gleason. Please visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find our daily ag programming. You can listen to it as an MP3 file or sign up to have it delivered to your computer directly as a podcast. And while you're there, don't forget to hit the right-hand side of the page and subscribe to our absolutely free weekend newsletter. It's all at willag.org. Up next, a recent national salmonella outbreak in some tomato varieties has sent grocery stores, restaurants, and tomato product producers scrambling to find sources. As you'll hear, one place they've been able to connect with tomato growers is through the University of Illinois-backed Market Maker website. The local tomato farmers listed on the Market Maker website are source verified, so consumers know where the tomatoes came from and how they were grown, says Dar Knipe, University of Illinois Extension Marketing Specialist. That is making the U of I-developed database-backed website a very valuable tool. A Lancaster, Ohio tomato grower listed on Market Maker says he was contacted by someone looking for uncontaminated tomatoes. Since his tomatoes were just turning green, he referred them to a contact in southern Illinois. States like Kentucky, Georgia, and Mississippi are even further south and may have tomatoes ready to sell, and they all have live Market Maker websites with searchable databases of producers. The tomato scare is a prime example of how anyone can use MarketMaker to find a source-verified supplier. The website began as an online database of Illinois businesses, but has expanded to include 10 states. The U of I's Darnipe says individuals can use the MarketMaker website to search for restaurants or places to buy things like maple syrup, wine, and produce direct from the farmer, and that producers can search for farmers' markets, grocery stores, and other outlets to sell their food products. There are state and national market maker websites. The national site is located at national.marketmaker.uiuc.edu. Again, the address, http://www.national.marketmaker.uiuc.edu. Participating states are highlighted, making it easy for users to navigate from state to state and get data from a combination of states or from just one area. MarketMaker is a collaboration between the University of Illinois Initiative for the Development of Entrepreneurship in Agriculture, the Illinois Department of Agriculture, and CFAR. The project was funded by the Illinois Department of Agriculture, University of Illinois Extension, and the Illinois Council on Food and Agricultural Research. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 85 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Urbana-Champaign. On a Wednesday afternoon, Mike Anderson of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana, joins us to take a look at the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Hi, Todd.
Thanks for being with us this afternoon. Just a couple of minutes to talk to you. How are things moving in the way of corn and soybeans? Basis levels are holding up, farmers out of the field and thinking about making sales?
Yeah, you know, you're seeing a lot of contract movement, a lot of forward sales have been made for June, July, so trucks are moving right now. Basis is a little bit weak right now with the flooding that's been going on the Mississippi. I think that's keeping rail values from sliding too far, but there is a lot of corn moving. You know, guys not wanting to sell too much more of what's in the bin until they really get some out and really get a handle on what's left.
You've got nearby contracts in the $7 range?
Some nearby contracts in the $7 range. Hard to believe.
And are expectations for it to stay that way for very long?
You know, it doesn't feel like the market's showing much signs of giving up. You know, corn up 4 cents today, tried to slide lower on the open and just couldn't do it. So, you know, until we really get indication that we've fixed a corn supply problem, I think there's going to be strength in the market.
Mike, your bids for the day there?
Cash corn delivered to Climbers today, $7.12. Delphi corn, $7.16.
All right. Thanks much, Mike.
Yep, you bet. See ya.
Mike Anderson is with the Andersons at the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from the Land Grant in Illinois, the University of Illinois.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILLAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the Closing Market Report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILLAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This afternoon, Chief Meteorologist at WILL in Urbana joins us to take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Good afternoon to you, Ed.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Ed Kieser, of course, Chief Meteorologist here at this radio station. Let's talk about the Midwest and some flood water, some potential rainfall yet to come this weekend.
Well, first off, the flooding conditions are still occurring in many of the rivers in Iowa, although the levels are starting to come down. And within the next couple of days, the level of the water should get below the previous record stage in Cedar Rapids. It's just amazing how flooded it's been there. But the Mississippi River is still seeing the water rise as it's moving through, I guess, the shoreline, if you will, of central Illinois pushing southward. So the river levels will continue to rise towards St. Louis and on southward over the next couple of days. Fortunately, there's a break in the action across Iowa and the upper Midwest, but scattered showers and thunderstorms will probably start to develop first this weekend, and then next week we could start to see some clusters of storms in the northwestern Midwest, and we're a little concerned about that.
Given that, and all of the rainfall that we have had in this part of the world, the eastern part of Illinois, the western part of Indiana, it might not be too bad at this point to have a half inch or a shower or two come through our part of the world.
Yeah, certainly. This is one thing where you can look at past statistics and not really get the full picture. We've had about 6 inches of rain in the Champaign-Urbana area, which is well above the average for the entire month of June, yet we've only had a quarter of an inch of rain in the last 10 days. On average, we get about an inch a week. So we got dumped on early in the month, and since then it's been dry, and the topsoil is actually dry in parts of eastern Illinois and western Indiana.
Forecast for the weekend, you said, has some rainfall in it. Will it be for this part of the world?
Scattered showers and thunderstorms. So there's going to be some areas that miss out, some that will probably get downpours. I think overall amounts are not going to be very heavy this weekend. Next week's another story. There's some question marks as low pressure continues to sit over eastern Canada. And if it stays strong enough, it'll hold the heat off to the southwest and we may get into the storm track. We're going to be watching that closely the next few days as there's still some uncertainty about next week. But I think we'll get a little warmer and have a better chance of rain.
And finally, tell me a little bit about this storm track of the one that's coming up this weekend. Iowa, parts of northern Illinois, Wisconsin still in for, I don't know whether I'd call it a deluge, but more rainfall than what we're expecting here at least.
Over the weekend, yeah, a little bit more to the west. The first system actually is going to start tomorrow into tomorrow night, and that's going to affect parts of southwest Iowa into Missouri and maybe southern Illinois. Then over the weekend, we start to see scattered showers and thunderstorms develop a little north of there. So it's not going to be the widespread deluge that we saw previously, but the threat of rain does come back to those areas you mentioned.
Ed, thank you much.
My pleasure.
Ed Kieser is the Chief Meteorologist at WILL in Urbana. That's where this program, the Closing Market Report, originates. You can hear it again if you'd like on our website. The address is WILLAG.org. Have a good and a very safe afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.